Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So you've heard this line before. Every 10 years, the U.S. Census comes to our door, or our virtual door, to create a universe of data. This data is tied to providing over $800 billion in public money to more than 300 programs, including programs for education and healthcare. We need to fill out our census forms to get our fair share. You hear that every sentence, every census. You've heard it about every other sentence on this show since April. But at stake this time could be the viability of our city, which relies heavily on program funding from formulas derived from the census, and which, of course, has been dealing with, along with other cities and towns in the country, the pandemic that has been raging for months. It's putting a special burden on New York and us getting our fair share. Joining us now, Julie Menon, director of New York City's Census 2020 initiative and interim executive director of the Center for Law and Social Justice at CUNY's Medgar Evers College, Laree Daniel Favors. Hi, Julie, welcome back. And Dr. Favors, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
So, Julie Menon, New York's response rate was well below the national average 10 years ago, according to your own NYC census data. The self-response rate in New York was 62% in 2010, while the national average was 76%. I'm cringing at the thought of learning what this year's New York response rate is so far with the challenges of lockdown. Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. Right now, we're a little over 53%. There is some good news in the data, however, because we are about 8 points behind the nationwide average. In 2010, we were 14 points behind the nationwide average. So we're actually really gaining ground in terms of New York City's self-response rate versus the nation's. We also have 4 months to go. The U.S. Census Bureau extended the deadline to the end of October because of COVID. So we will begin door knocking in August and really be able to have that in-person contact that we have not been able to have so far, and that will be a big boost to our numbers.
What should people listening do right now?
The most important thing is that if they have not filled the census out, they should go to my2020census.gov and fill it out. All you need is your name and address. You can fill it out from your phone, from your computer. It takes 10 minutes. And if you've already filled it out, make a commitment to get 10 other people in New York City to fill it out.
Professor Favors, I see you're a co-host of the Sunday Civics podcast with L. Joy
yes.
Williams. She comes on this show
yes.
to talk about that. You're a national political, she's a national political strategist. Can you talk about the census as a civic duty and why a large percentage of New Yorkers aren't engaging with it, between the combination of it being a civic duty and it being very much in our self-interest?
Sure, absolutely. So one thing we need to be clear about is that our ability as a city to pull ourselves out from the harm that was caused by the pandemic is going to largely be funded by on programs that are funded by census dollars. And so when we're talking about communities in New York City, these are traditionally very diverse communities, communities that have very historically valid reasons for not trusting government. And yet these are the very communities that can least afford to not fill out the census. I often give an example that if you lived in a fictional community of 100 families, and according to the census formulas for that year, every family should receive $100 in education services, that means annually that's a $10,000 education budget for that community. But if only 40 families or 40% of the community fills it out, you're only going to get $4,000, which means you only get funding that's appropriate for 40 families. But in September, all 100 families worth of children are going to show up to school. When we're thinking about what's happening right now with the challenges of remote learning, with the challenges of properly educating children while parents are at home trying to figure out what their work situation is going to be, we cannot at all afford to have undercounts in our communities, particularly those communities that are the least willing to engage with the census. And so it is a civic duty in that the census literally funds nearly every single social service that our communities rely upon. And so what our efforts have been tied to is ensuring that we properly educate New Yorkers in ways that are culturally responsive for them, with trusted messengers from their community to let them know, one, what the census is, and two, how it is directly related to virtually every single social service that they rely upon.
Do you need to reassure people again? Maybe they've heard it, maybe they haven't, if they are undocumented, or even if they're documented and immigrants, considering the fear that this administration in Washington tries to sow, that there aren't going to be repercussions that come back to hurt them individually if they fill out their census forms?
Absolutely. And I think
that's sure that. Sorry.
Go ahead, Julie. No, go ahead. You got it.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that, you know, one of the reasons the city of New York was a plaintiff on the citizenship lawsuit, along with so many others, is precisely to ensure the confidentiality of the census and to protect everyone's right to fill the census out. We won that case at the Supreme Court. The citizenship question is not on the census, but it's also important to note that Title 13 protects the confidentiality of the census. That information cannot be shared at all, and it in fact imposes up to 5-year prison sentence, up to $250,000 fine on any federal employee who shares that data. So we do want to assure everyone that the census information is sacrosanct and people should not in any way fear filling out the census.
And
Brian, I would just want to add to that and say, please, that yes, it is very important for immigrant communities, and the Center for Law and Social Justice at Medgar Evers represented the New York State Black, Hispanic, and Puerto Rican Legislative Caucus as amici in that case, because we knew that there were, even for communities that are not traditionally thought of in the immigration context, communities of African descent in particular, there is a 400-year history of distrust and concern about state action. And so having specific messages that can take that history into account has been at the heart of most of the census campaigns that you've seen taking place across the city.
Right. And I guess people should know you're a lawyer, you're general counsel for the Center for Law and Social Justice at Medgar Evers. So when I called you Dr. Favors in the introduction, no, you're not a PhD. you've got that that other ultimate degree, the JD.
Indeed.
And you know, in that context, I see you co-founded Breaking the Cycle Consulting Services, which works with educators, parents, youth, and agencies to break the cycle of academic and social underdevelopment in communities of color. Terms like that are being referenced in the context of the defund the police movement, or at least the reduce the funding of the police movement and reduce the presence of the police in, you know, on the front lines rather than other kinds of agencies in some of the communities that you're working in. I wonder where you intersect with this movement.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in New York City, the policing budget fight was a very local fight. And so while there are some jurisdictions across the country that have more of a one-to-one connection between, say, census data and policing budgets, in New York City, we have a much more localized approach. But as it pertains to culturally responsive education, and I think we're definitely seeing the impacts of that happening right now with the current concerns about what's going to happen with schools and the increasing gap in the achievement scores. And I think that one of the things that we've been talking about culturally responsive education way before it was popular. And so we have been very pleased to see that the chancellor and the current New York City leadership have really embraced issues of equity and access in a way that is far more holistic than in preceding administrations. And all of those things, indeed, are also impacted by an accurate census count. If we know that New York City is the most diverse public school system in the nation, and yet the most segregated public school system in the nation, it is imperative that we have access to full and equitable funding of resources so that we can be clear and specific and targeted and measured in how we are reaching out to those students who are most in need.
My guests are Laurie Daniel Favors, who was just speaking, Executive Director for the Center for Law and Social Justice at CUNY's Medgar Evers College, and General Counsel, and Julie Menon, Director of NYC Census 2020 for the city government. We can take calls for either of them, census calls or law and social justice calls, at 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Amy in Manhattan has a relevant census question for the COVID era. Amy, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Ryan and guests. And Brian, I'm so glad you're back, and I'm sorry you had to deal with that dental issue.
Thank you.
I'm wondering that people who don't fill out the census online or mail it back in usually get visits from the census workers, and I'm wondering what the safety issues are with that with coronavirus.
Thank you, Amy.
Sure.
Julie, is door-to-door census taking canceled?
So the U.S. Census Bureau is going to begin door knocking in the middle of August. That is the current plan.
They are.
They will clearly be wearing all personal protective equipment that is necessary. In addition, our office is looking at reopening. We had 300 centers planned with computer terminals largely housed in public libraries, civic organizations, houses of worship, etc. So when we get the go-ahead to do that, we will also be reopening those centers as well. But to be clear, in terms of the door knocking, you will not receive a knock on the door if you complete the census. So it's, again, another reason to complete the census now if you haven't done so. Then you avoid the door knock.
All right. I didn't know that the door knocks were going to take place at all. Was that a close call? I heard that they might be canceled, but they're not being canceled.
The current guidance right now is that the U.S. Census Bureau would resume that kind of follow-up in August. Look, anything can change. The one thing that, unfortunately, we've learned with COVID is that even the best laid plans can be changed at any time. So we'll have to see what happens with that. But they are going to begin the non-response follow-up in the middle of August.
Bassam in Manhattan.
And Brian,
go ahead, Professor Favors.
No, I just wanted to say that's why I really, in taking this time now to fill out the census at my2020census.gov, or if you even wanted to phone it in, is so important, because there are so many communities that are concerned about strangers knocking at the door, particularly in the time of COVID. And so you can prevent that and be doing everything possible to help your community in a civically minded way by filling it out ahead of time, so that your house apartment number is not even on the list of those for whom a door knock would be appropriate.
Papa in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Papa.
Hi, good morning. I am so glad this conversation is going on. I am of African descent. I was immigrated to this country from Senegal. Although I am a citizen, my wife is and all my children are. I filled out the census out of duty. And ever since I did that, because they asked, are you African, black? I said, yes. They said, are you Nigerian, Senegalese? I put Senegalese. I've been getting a call every night from the census people trying to ask me such personal questions that I'm worried right now. Why are they doing all this? And I said to the person, I have always filled out the census. I never had questions. And she said to me, oh, this year is different. And I say, how different is this year? Is this because we have such a person in the White House? I really feel threatened. And I regret having filled out the census, because I don't know what they're going to do with all this information. And why are they calling me every night?
Julie,
and I kid you not.
Julie, is this something that happens?
Yeah, we'd love to take your information offline, because certainly that should not be happening. If you've not filled the census fully out, you can sometimes get a follow-up call.
Uh-huh.
So if you've skipped a number of questions, sometimes they verify it because they view it as an incomplete census. But certainly calling every night, this kind of behavior, we want to know about that right away. So we'd love to have your information and follow up with you.
If you would like to leave your contact information, Papa, we will take it off the air.
Brian,
Go ahead, Professor Favors.
I'm sorry. I want to say, Mr. Papa, thank you so much, one, for filling out the census, and for, two, raising an issue that is really important for communities of African descent. Being from Senegal, being from Ghana, being from the Dominican Republic, from Venezuela, from Haiti, these are all countries that have specific nationalities, and racially, they have different ways of looking at how we show up in the world. And so I was just so happy, even though I know we're going to need to follow up and make sure that everything is copacetic, I was very happy to hear that Mr. Papa said that he checked black on the census. And that is one of the fundamental messages that we have really been promoting at the center, because there are so many different ways of interpreting race depending on your culture, depending on the society from which you come. And in this country, we need people to know that when you come here, regardless of how you may feel about the term black, or think it applies only to black Americans in a more specific sense, racially speaking and nationally speaking, those are two different categories. And so properly identifying yourself as from Senegalese, as being Ivorian, as being Jamaican, that is all appropriate national identification. And the racial identification, which should go along with that, is black. And so I just wanted to personally thank him. And I'm sorry that he's been distressed by these calls, but I look forward to ensuring that he's able to resolve that. But that is such a key point, and I'm just so happy to hear that he made those selections. So I just wanted to offer that thanks.
Julie Menon, what's the policy on the follow-up calls? Is there a certain limit on the number of follow-up calls that any individual will get if they don't give the answers that seem full enough to the census taker?
Well, let me just say the U.S. Census Bureau is persistent, and if they view it as an incomplete census, they may call a number of times. However, we want to hear if people feel that they're getting repeated phone calls from the U.S. Census Bureau. We need to know about that because we then need to lodge a complaint and make sure that is not happening. But again, the best way to avoid a phone call, the best way to avoid a knock at the door is simply to complete the census. And Brian, I think it's important to note the census is 10 questions. There are a lot of myths and misconceptions about what the census asks and what it doesn't ask. It basically asks your name, your address, your age, how many people live in the home, race and ethnicity information. I mean, that is basically what the census is. It does not ask income, Social Security, bank information. None of that is on the census.
Can you remind people then, Professor Favors, why it does ask race and nationality questions like the ones that Papa is talking about?
Absolutely. So in our communities or in our nation, race can be a protected racial category. So if we're talking about protecting voting rights, if we're talking about civil rights or anti-discrimination laws or employment discrimination protections, those are racially based inquiries. And so while one may happily identify as all of the nationalities you have in your genealogical background on the census, and that's fine, if you don't identify racially, it puts a limit on the types of protections we can invoke for that community. And it's important to know that things like biracial or multiracial are not considered protected racial categories. Saying that you are from Jamaica, again, that's nationality, that's not racial categorization. And so because of the history of race in our country, this country has created an approach to addressing racial issues through things like anti-discrimination laws, civil rights protections, voting rights protections, and those are racially driven questions. And so having access to that data is vitally important for us to ensure that communities are as protected as possible.
I guess people get confused, considering the history of the country, between are they asking me about my race to protect me or are they asking me about my race to oppress me?
And I think those are good questions, considering the history of race in this country. And that's why civic education, that's culturally responsive, is so very important. And so, as Julie mentioned earlier, individualized data on the census is not released. It's protected by Title 13. The aggregate data is what's used to determine city planning. It's what's used to determine how investments in communities are made. It's used to determine how we ensure that, you know, say, for example, there's a large Haitian community, a Haitian Creole speaking community, how do we get voting materials in that language so that they have access to the ballot? And so we see the census as a racial justice issue because, particularly for communities of African descent, we have been so excluded from the body politic for so long. Not knowing how these systems work has fundamentally disenfranchised us. And so making sure that we are educating communities about what the census is, how it's tied to their funding, and how it's tied to their political power. We've talked a lot about, you know, it's over $675 billion every year that's distributed based on census data. But that's also votes in Congress. It's also electoral representation. And so, you know, going back to that example I gave earlier of the 100 families, if according to the census, that community should have 10 elected officials, if only 40% of the communities fill those the census form out, they're only going to get 4 elected officials, which means they're short 6 votes for every vitally important piece of legislation that yeah. community needs to ensure their access to quality of life.
And Brian, if I could also add to Lori's point, this is so important. In 1953, we had 43 seats in Congress, in the New York State delegation. We now have 27. If we have an undercount, we could go to 25 and lose another two seats in Congress. So the census is all about power. It's about respect. It's about resources. It's more urgent than ever that every New Yorker fill the census out at this moment in time.
And we know where those extra seats are going. They're mostly going to Texas. And I didn't make
that
up. So there's another motivation for people in New York. Bassem in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Bassem.
Hi, thank you, Brian, for taking my call.
Sure.
My question, I think, is very much related to the caller before. As Egyptian, American, Muslim, African, Middle Eastern, all that combination, it's very hard to fill up the census and what the benefits I'm going to get out of filling up that census.
Are you having trouble figuring out how to categorize yourself?
Exactly. I'm under African, Muslim, Middle Eastern, Egyptian, American, you know, all those kinds that's not there in the categories will be which one to benefit the most that community and what the benefits I can get out of each one.
Julie, can you refer to the form specifically and give him guidance based on his description of himself?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things about the census is that there's actually no hard and fast rules about how you fill it out. It is about how you see yourself. It is about self-identification, and that's really, really important. So there's no guidance that we in particular can say you need to fill it out this way or this way because it's such an individualistic and subjective response. It's how you see yourself. Now, I will say, moving to a different category of gender, that we have had a lot of questions about the gender question because it's binary. And there, some people have opted actually to skip the question because it's simply a binary choice. I do want to say probably the number one question we get in our office is, can you skip one question of the census? Hmm. You can. If you skip more than a couple questions of the census, again, you're likely to get a phone call or a knock at the door. So the census is, again, about self-identification and how you individualistically see yourself.
Let's do one more. Brigitte, is it Bridget or Brigitte in Manhattan? You're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. I was hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. This is not new, Brian. I started to apply in January to be an enumerator. People knocking on doors for people who do not fill their census card or because form or because they don't know how to.
Yeah, you're ready to get out there and go knock on the doors for the census. Okay.
Exactly. And I was supposed to start in March, but because of the pandemic, it was delayed. I keep receiving phone call every other week. They call me, say, will you be available in July? Now the last phone call was, well, will you be available in August?
Right.
And I'm hoping between 8 and 14. So I would like the person on your show to confirm. Shit, my phone.
Okay. And we're running out of time, but Bridget wants to work. She's ready to work. So what should she be doing, Julie? And then we're going
to
wrap
that's
it up.
That's great. So to be clear, these jobs are with the federal government, not the city government, but we'd be happy to help coordinate. We speak to the Federal Census Bureau every single day. So if you feel that you're not getting a response from them, again, we'd love to take your information offline and help serve as a conduit to make that happen.
Okay, Bridget, we'll take your information offline. I want you to give out, as a final thing, the census phone number, because people are asking for that. So in addition to going to census.gov to get the form, and that, you know, that simple step, some people are asking for the phone number. Who should call the census? Under what circumstances? And can you fill out the form over the phone and then give out that phone number?
Yes, so that you can fill out the census. They're actually in many different languages you can fill it out. The English language phone number, and it's toll-free, is 844-330-2020, 844-330-2020. You can fill the census out by telephone. You can fill it out online at my2020census.gov, or you can fill it out by mail. The U.S. Census Bureau is this very week sending out an additional mailing. It'll be a postcard. So for anyone that prefers the mail option, you'll be able to do that as well if you haven't already filled it out.
Any last word from you in 30 seconds, Professor Favors?
I would just say that, you know, for people who have additional questions, I invite you to visit our website at C like center, L like law, S like social, J like justice.org. That's CLSJ.org. Again, census for communities of African descent in this city is a racial justice issue. And considering we only got the right to access the vote in 1965, less than 58 years ago, it is so important that we take the steps now to educate our communities, to find out how the census is directly tied to every single social service that we need, and how the census is going to really dictate the quality of life as we navigate the post-pandemic era for New York City residents.
All right. I think we've done it again. This is not the first, not the second, not the third segment that we've done that I will candidly say is a commercial for filling out your census form, wrapped in hopefully an interesting conversation. So we thank Julie Menon, the director of New York City's Census 2020 program, and we thank Laurie Daniel Favors, interim executive director of the Center for Law and Social Justice at CUNY's Medgar Evers College. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.